into that special place with Him. I saw a compass. When I looked at the compass, I saw that the needle was missing. And I feel that for somebody here, I feel the Lord is showing me that you've lost your way. The compass was broken and the needle was gone. That you've lost your way. Your walk with Jesus is not what it was like. There was a time when you walked a close walk with Him and you knew where true north was and the Holy Spirit would lead you. But I feel that in some sense that you've lost that. And Jesus wants to restore that to you today. I'm not sure who you are, but where you are seated right now, I pray that the Holy Spirit will come and it will just surround you and it'll begin to minister to you and to restore you and to lift you up again. That you'd know His presence, that you'd know His voice, and that you'd know He's leading in every way and in every area of your life. Amen. Father, I thank You, and I just pray, Father, for a restoration over that life, Lord, that You'd restore, and Father, that You'd bring them back again into a closer walk with You, Father, a walk of knowing You, a place where they would see You, a place where they would hear You, that would hear Your voice, Father, that intimacy, Lord, that You'd restore that today in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Sure, there's a fly buzzing around me here, past my eyes. So if you see me swatting every now and again, I'm trying to get rid of this fly. Is it okay if I minister as the Lord leads? I saw an army camp. And when I looked at it, now often you watch TV and the troops go into training. And when they've done their training period, a lot of guys have been in the army here, they then take and they shipped out onto the battle lines where they get ready for the battle that lay ahead. And when I looked, I saw the troops that had been brought into this place and they had set up camp. And the Lord showed me this tent. And when I looked at this tent, it was a place where the generals, the lieutenants, and that they all gathered to formulate the battle plan, so they would move and walk as one. And I just feel that for many years, there's been a preparation. God is preparing you. God has established you, and He has set you strong in His Word. And I feel that right now, God is about to release, and you begin to see the fullness of His plan and His purpose for your life. That's what He's called us to do. We're in an army, and we need to advance His kingdom in every way. But just as God has called you, advance His kingdom the way He has called you to. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, this morning, it's an honor and it's a privilege to be able to share God's word with you. I really enjoy it. I love it when the Lord speaks. But we have friends with us here this morning, and friends that we've known for many, many years. Godonks. That's how far back it goes. Andries and Lorette, thank you for being with us here this morning. And Yvonne, our very foundations as a baby Christian come from Ron and Yvonne. They taught us the basic principles of our Lord Jesus Christ. And yeah, we thank you for that. Sure. I felt I needed to speak to you this morning about building your house. How have you built your house? And are you building the way God wants you to build and establish yourself in His kingdom? We had many prophecies in this church the last few months and exciting stuff. And that's God's plan and His purpose for us in the next season. But with all that being said, He wants a people that stand rock solid in Him. That season that we are going into, you're going to need to know Jesus as your Savior. You're going to have to be rock solid in your relationship with Him. And if I look back just on that word that Sally brought a little while ago about the river rafting, let me tell you something. Is anybody a river rafted? That takes experience. It's not an easy thing to face those waters. You're at the mercy of the water. It takes you where it's going. You can't deviate from them. but you've got to hang on for dear life. And I want to say to you this morning, hold on to what Jesus has for you. Let's be rock solid in our faith, in our walk with him. Amen. Let's turn to Luke 6, and we're going to read from 46 to 49. Sorry, I need my other eyes. This is about building on the rock. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. Sure. Something that the Lord's been speaking to me about for a little while now, and I just felt I needed to share it with you this morning. Can you build a house on the sand? You can try. And often we have good intentions, and things come our way, all the storms of life. And then when we look again, we're not building on the rock anymore, we're building on the sand. Because of all the life's pressures and all the things that Satan throws at us, we fall off that foundation that Jesus laid for us. And when we look again, we're not building on that secure foundation, our Lord Jesus Christ, but we end up building our own thing because of the pressures and the storms that come our way. Yes, it's easy to default and to end up building on the sand. When Jesus walked the earth, there were many that followed him, hundreds and thousands. So even though, if I look at the scripture that we just read here in Luke, so even though they are affirming his authority, they are not submitting to his lordship. I see that these people want Jesus as their Savior, but they do not want him, Jesus, as their Lord. These people want Jesus as their Savior, but do not want him as the Lord. So that is why Jesus asks them, why do you call me Lord, and you're not doing the things that I asked you to do? They were listening to him, even calling him Lord. Even though they are affirming his authority, they are not submitting to his lordship. Want him as the Savior, but they don't want him as the Lord. And you know, this plays a big part in our foundation and everything that we do for our Lord Jesus Christ, that we need to submit to his lordship. And what does it mean to submit to his lordship? Where he has free rule and reign in our lives. What does the Word of God say? It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ in me. So if you look at the scripture again, it talks about two builders. One good, one bad. One's building on the sand, one's building on the rock. Both of them look the same. So if we look at the natural, the outward appearance, man, they look the same. Both are building. As long as the weather was good, the one that was built on the sand, it would stand. Good weather, no problems, everything's hunky-dory, and you're just floating on in life. The foundation that you've laid, yes, it's going to stand. From the outside, would not tell the difference. You know, there's an old saying that you don't judge a book by its cover. The two builders appear to be building. And let me tell you something. If there are any mistakes in your foundation, the higher you get, it's going to show. The cracks are going to show, and everything that you've built, it's going to end up all lopsided. And you're not going to be able to complete what He has for your life. So what I feel separates the two, the rock from the sand, one of the biggest areas is obedience. What's our obedience like to our relationship with Jesus? Our obedience reveals our faith. It reveals our belief in Jesus. It's about our desire for obedience, submitting to the Word of God, and following His commands. For me, it's all about a life that stands out. Jesus is calling us to stand out. He hasn't called us to blend in. Like that lighthouse that's built on the rock, the waves come and they crash that thing. But you know what? That light continues to shine regardless of what's happening around it. And that's what He wants for us in this season. A people that are built, they're solid rock in their walk with God. Will not be moved, not be shaken. Let's turn to James 2, verse 18. But someone will say that you have faith and I have works. I will show you my faith by my works. I really believe that in Jesus we will demonstrate faith by our obedience. A little while ago in the Wednesday night prayer meeting, the Lord just laid this on my heart, and I feel it goes with the scripture in James 2, verse 18. You cannot have faith without the works. We've got to step out. It's about stepping out, and it's about doing what He's calling us to do. You can't have faith, and we end up sitting on our laurels and doing nothing for Him. So with that, you know, we've all gone for our driver's license. But before we can get our license, we go through that theory part where we study and we learn all the rules of the road, what's expected of us and what's not expected. But there comes a time where it can't just be theory, where I can't just be studying the Word. But I need to step out and I need to get into that car and I need to drive it so that I can get my license. And I feel that's what Jesus is doing right now for many of us, that He's wanting to take us out of that place. We know the Word. Backwards, forwards, we know underneath, know it. You can recite scripture, maybe 100 scriptures. But we need to get into that place of moving. There needs to be motion. The true building of one's house on a rock is to reveal faith through obedience. If I'm not obedient to God, I'm not building. And in that space, our worship to God is revealed. We're going to have storms. Just because you've built well, and you're standing on the rock, and also you're doing things for Jesus, you're going to have storms. As with the house that was built on the sand, both of them are going to face the storms of life. God said in his word in John 16, verse 33, "You will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." I want to give you a few examples of different storms. You know, and it's just some things that popped out to me. Some areas that the body of Christ has moved into, and I feel that became a big storm. And it dropped many, many people in their walk with Jesus. And I feel one of those areas is prosperity. The storm of prosperity. I just felt the Lord laid on my heart. It was a storm of prosperity that Satan pushed into the church, where we took our eyes off Jesus, and it was no longer about Jesus, but it was about what I could get. And it did damage. You end up building on the sand, and we're no longer standing upon the true foundation of who we meant to be in Jesus. The storms of distraction. Distraction's a storm. Satan comes along and he distracts us and he keeps us busy. Eventually we find ourselves in a place where we're no longer hearing the Lord. We're not sensitive to his voice anymore. I'm not reading his word because I don't have time to spend in his word because I'm too busy being distracted. Distraction is a storm. Watch out for it. And then there's the storm of self. I'm living for myself. It's all about me, what I can get, and what Jesus has for me, and nothing else matters. And if you're a child of God, it's the complete opposite. God has called us to a lost and to a dying world. He's called us to make a difference out there. And when, a little while ago, Craig, myself, and Mark, we went to Kigali, and the time that we spent ministering to the leaders there, it just showed me something so clearly. I saw this beaver. You all know, I think I mentioned it to you before, this beaver building this dam. And he chews away at all these trees surrounding this river. There is no dam, but there's a river. But he wants to dam it up for himself. So he chops all these trees down and he pulls them into the water. And he blocks it up and he builds this dam wall. So he's got this big dam for himself. So he can enjoy all the water for himself. He's not worried about what's happening downstream. He's creating his own pool. And I think for a lot of us, we've walked this life with a beaver mentality. We're damming everything up for ourselves. It shouldn't be like that. The river of life flows in us, through us, and around us. We bring life and we make change wherever we go, wherever God has called us to. Another area that the Lord showed me. We are very good at looking after the natural house. I make sure that I eat well. Got nice clothes on. That the flesh is comfortable. Not so, don't we do that? Even the house that this body lives in, that natural house of brick and mortar, I make sure that the gate's locked. There's an electric fence all around there. I've got security beams all over. I go and buy myself the biggest dog. So when everybody walks past it, they get scared. But when it comes to the spiritual house, I find we're lacking in that area. We neglect that area. Am I going to let the thief come in and steal all my natural things? But now I'm allowing Satan to come and steal everything from my spiritual house. And then when I look again, the place that I find myself in, woe is me, Lord, why am I in this place? It's because I've given Satan free rein to come in and to steal everything. The Word of God says that Satan only comes to rob, to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And that's his purpose and his mission for you, to come and rob you, to pull you right out of God's promised blessing for your life. So how do we allow Satan into our spiritual home? How do we do it? It's through offense, bitterness, unforgiveness, fear, pride, rebellion. These are a couple of things that I wrote down last night. Negativity. It's a big thing. Instead of pulling down, let's lift up. Instead of speaking death, let's speak life. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. If you walk in a close walk with Jesus, when these things come, rebellion, offense, bitterness, you're going to recognize that there's something foreign. Oh no, that doesn't belong in the fruit bowl. What are the fruits of the Spirit? Love, peace, joy, patience, kindness. So when all those other things come, that doesn't belong. And you're going to reject it. I keep a lot of wood at the back of the house. I love woodwork, and I like making things. I've made tables and window frames and all sorts. But there was a time where I left a lot of the wood lying at the back. And Lenny asked me to make her a frame. It was for somebody painted a picture for us. And I took it out, and I cleaned it up, and I started shaping this thing, and I noticed, there were these holes all over this thing. I couldn't use it anymore. So I discarded it. I went in there to look for another piece full of holes. I had to throw it away. I looked again. All of it was useless. A wood borer had got into it. The outside looked nice, but it had eaten the inside. It was frot. And what Afrikaner people say, frot, nee. It was rotten. It was useless, I couldn't use it. So I had to discard it. And that's what these things do, like that wood borer. All those things come and they just bore away and they eat out all the goodness. They eat away at God's word in your heart. All these things that will rot your heart, that will poison your heart. And that's what Satan's after. He's after your heart. We're all different. I can't build the way Craig does. The way Craig builds his house, I can't do that. So I'm building exactly the way Jesus is asking me to build my spiritual house. And just in that, if you look at all the different countries, we spend time in Holland and Belgium and all over. But some of those roofs were there with a steep slope to those roofs. And they built it and they created it that way to accommodate the snow. So when the snow fell, it wasn't resting on the roof structure, it would just slide off. The double windows to keep the heat in and the cold out. So that's how they built the structures in different areas. And it's the same way with everybody here today. Boy, we are also different. Even when it comes to Lenny and I, we are like chalk and cheese. I'm serious. We are very different. Very. But that's what God wants. So I'm doing what He's asking me to do. Lenny's doing what God is asking her to do, and we walk in that road together, adding and advancing His kingdom. Amen. In Genesis 6, verse 8 to 22, I'm not going to read it because we're running out of time. just an example I want to give you on obedience and what God does when we are obedient. So I want to give you the story of Noah. So with Noah, did he just wake up one morning and decide, you know what, I'm going to build a boat today? Say again. They're like, I do. I'm going to build a boat today. No, it wasn't like that. The Word of God says that Noah found favor with God, that he was a righteous man, and that he walked with God. For me, when I read all that stuff, the thing that jumps out there is intimacy. He was a man that was intimacy. He was intimate with God because he walked with him. They connected and they spoke. And in that time, God says to Noah, Noah, I want you to build me an ark. And when God came to him and said, I want you to build me an ark, he told him exactly, I want you to use this wood. You're going to build it in such and such a way. This is the design and this is the blueprint. Build it the way I'm showing you. Man, it takes him 100 years to build this big boat. And in that 100-year period, I think there were many things that came along to distract him. There were many people that ridiculed him because the closest river, closest dam was probably 1,000 miles away. But he is building this thing. Why? Because he knows God and he's obedient to him. So what happens next? Because he was obedient to the instruction that the Lord gave him, God comes along and he closes the door and he begins to fulfill his promise on that spoken word. And that's what he does for us. When I'm obedient in what he's asking me to do, when I'm obedient in that blueprint for my life, guess what? Like with Noah, he's going to come and he's going to close that door and he's going to seal his promise. And fulfillment is going to come on that word that he gave me. The blueprint for your life, fulfill that. Do not deviate from that. Do exactly what God is asking you to do. I want to give you another example of Moses. So when he was on the mountain and he was in God's presence, God gave him a picture and God spoke to him and he wanted him to build a tabernacle, a meeting place where God would come and he would fill that place with his presence. It's a place where he would speak to the people. It's a place where Moses will continue to commune with God. But in that, he says to Moses, see that you make them, that's all the utensils and everything that goes along with this tabernacle. See that you make them after the pattern for them which is being shown you on the mountain. So when he set about to do that, and he did accordingly to what God had shown him, God came and he filled that place. And in that, Moses was able to tabernacle with the Lord. And it's the same with us. When I'm building right, when I'm on my secure foundation, and when he speaks to me, and I'm doing what's been asked of me, the Holy Spirit will come and he'll fill me and he'll walk with me and he'll tabernacle with me in a great and mighty way. I will know his presence. I will know the fullness of his Spirit in my life. When everything inside you is set right. He was preparing a dwelling place for the Lord, but it had to be right. Where is Jesus? Where is the Holy Spirit? Yeah, he's inside of us. He's inside of us. You know, and often we look at people and we think, wow, look at the anointing on that guy's life. And you can see that the Lord is with him. And maybe it's because he's put everything right inside. And that's why the Holy Spirit is dwelling and walking with him. And it's the same with us. We need to walk right with God. His word needs to be in the right place in our hearts. Everything we need to do must be as he leads. I just felt I needed to put this in to keep you all awake. So a little while ago, we had this burble, Bradley's burble, and we had to put him down because he was getting on in years and he got sick and that. And Bradley goes on the hunt for another dog. So he eventually finds this dog. So Eloise runs out the one Saturday because they just don't want to miss this dog. So she's there early. Okay, it's on already. So she's there early. Brings the dog home. So Brady says, he calls us into his house. He says, wow, look here. Man, this is going to be a big dog. Look at the size of his paws. That was many months ago. Yeah, he's about that big. His short little legs. He's about that wide. So many people ask me, what is it? I don't know. But then I thought about it. And I looked long and hard and I studied this dog. So I thought, okay, maybe Jack Russell, you agree with me there. Then I thought about it again. You know, the white and the markings on his face and he's got the spot here. The height and everything, I thought, no, penguin. His mom was a Jack Russell and his dad was a penguin. You're going to laugh. You know a penguin makes a noise. This dog does exactly the same. Exactly the same. When I come home at night, he's by the gate and he doesn't yap or bark. I get this. And he... But we love him to bits. God is really good to us. And yeah, he's brought a lot of joy to the family. But just in looking at, Lynn and I were just discussing DNA. He's like that because of his DNA makeup. All those little freckles on his tummy, the markings on his face, and that target just above his tail. That's his DNA makeup. Not so? And it's the same with us. What is your DNA makeup? Jesus. The Word of God says, it's no longer I that live, but Christ in me. So what is he saying in that scripture? I've left the old Ivan behind, and I'm now walking the Christ-like life that is put inside of me. And with that, we need to stop picking up the old. And I've got a tendency to do that. I run quick and I pick up the old Ivan. No. Leave it. I need to leave it. Let's leave the old man behind. Let's march on the way Jesus has called us to. I've said all of that to say this. My wife's laughing. The seed of your life must be sown into the will of God. The seed of your life must be sown into the will of God so that you can bring forth a harvest. Why? Because he is to be glorified through our lives and in everything that we do. That's a season that Jesus is taking us into. We've all received these bookmarkers. What does it say on there? What is our vision? To know our Lord Jesus Christ and make him known. Go and partner with the Holy Spirit. I can't make Jesus known to a lost world if I don't know Jesus. If I don't know Jesus, what am I taking out there? So that bookmark that you've got, every time you read it, I pray that the Lord would minister to you and that it would show you something new and dynamic in your life. We have to contend. We have to fight for it. It's not the time to sit back and be complacent in the things of God, as you're going to miss out. And we cannot build on the Lord's foundation with wood, hay, and stubble. We can't build on his foundation with the works of the flesh. So that's what I want to leave with you this morning. How are you building your house? When you get home today, think about it. Think about it. How are you building your house? How have you built your house? What does your foundation look like? Are all the walls broken and Satan's coming and he's robbed? And he's stolen from you? Let's guard and protect the most precious thing. Let's look after our spiritual house. I just feel that we're on the brink of something really, really special. God's Spirit is going to move in his body like never before. Like never before. And those that have built right, the foundation is right, and they're standing strong, there's going to come a shift, a quick shift into the things of God. And Lenny and I, we often talk about the suddenlies of God. I feel we're going to experience those things. The suddenlies of God. Amen. Let's all stand. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we worship you. And I want to declare today that you are Lord of our hearts. Father, I want to ask that where we've built on the sand, in our own personal lives, where we haven't followed your blueprint for our lives, I want to ask you today to forgive us. To forgive us, Lord. And Father, as we stand here before you today, that you'd refresh and that you'd make new. I ask and I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd continue to wash over us in this hour. That we would be a people that stand strong, rock solid in our walk and in our faith with you. That we're a people, we're not pushed to the left nor to the right. But we set our eyes on you like flint this day. Father, we love you. And we know that it's not in might and it's not in power. But it's in you, it's through you, and it's by your Spirit. And I declare today that it would be so. It would be so. So Father, I thank you that as we go our separate ways today, that you'd lead us into that place with you and that you'd speak to us afresh in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.